Hey there, welcome to episode 159 of Fresh Air 5. In this episode, you're going to hear me talk about artificial intelligence again, as my students would wonder, are we talking about this again? Well, we're going to keep talking about it because it's not going away in our technology world anytime soon. But we're talking about it from a different lens this week, a lens of critical thinking and asking some questions that are significant and important. Later in this episode, you're going to hear me talk about banning cell phones in school and whether that can solve the mental health crisis, as I listened to Truth for Teachers with Angela Watson. But you know what? The most significant story for me this past week has been about a relationship between a man and a dog. And therefore, I'm going to talk about this a little bit as we go along, and this title of this episode is Technology and Odom. All right, without further ado, episode 159, Fresh Air 5.
I'm Jesse Lubinsky.
I'm Donnie Piercy.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey Heil, hosts of the Partial Credit Podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others.
Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to Fresh Air at 5, the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Carpenter, coming to you every week from Abbotsford, which is about 45 minutes east of Vancouver, British Columbia, on the west coast of Canada. Fresh Air at 5 is my regular attempt to get some fresh air by walking about my neighborhood, which is located on the traditional and unceded territory of the Stolo people, the Tsimmath First Nation and Mathqui First Nation. I consume podcast content while I walk, then reflect on this content in an unedited video, which I post on my X, formerly known as Twitter, channel every day. This podcast is the collection of the audio taken from those daily selfie videos over the course of a week, Monday to Friday. So let's jump into my listening and learning this past week. PLN, it's February 19, 2024. Happy BC Family Day. So today is a day to remember and celebrate family. Got together with my folks on the weekend. Was able to have dinner with them. It was nice with my kids, my wife. That was good. And then yesterday we hung around the house and did some family things-ish. We're supporting my daughter for her choir tour coming up. And my wife is making these cloth book bags with different cool prints on them, like patterns, you know, the fabric, and posted those on Facebook in our local community. And she's sold a number of those, helping support our daughter to go on a choir tour. So that's something happened. And today, don't know what's going to exactly happen today. You know, it's been a long weekend. Had Pro D on Friday, where it was really good. But I gotta get back to doing some work today, and I will do so. This morning I listened to George Koros on the Innovator's Mindset podcast talk with author and educational consultant AJ Giuliani about four questions to consider when thinking about AI in education and professional learning. And it was an impromptu, George says, discussion that he wrote these questions about a year and a half ago, and then brings them before AJ Giuliani, and they have this down-to-earth conversation, I believe, from what my understanding of where we're at with AI and where things are at, that, you know, they talk authentically with each other. They bounce each other's ideas back and forth and come to a thing that talks about compliance-based learning and how this AI tool is a serious threat to compliance-based learning. Take a listen for yourself, listen with your staff, listen and be mindful as we move forward. Hang on. One more thing for February 19, 2024. Continuing my thoughts on Innovators Mindset Podcast with AJ Giuliani that came out in February 2024. I'm trying to just put a date on this, George. The whole compliance-based learning, that's a phrase that we can use to substitute for traditional learning, you know, because not traditional practices aren't bad in and of themselves. It's maybe how we use those when we could have more progressive practices in our classroom, you know, just, you know, taking marks off for MLA citation punctuation. Is that a thing anymore today with the tools we have available to make sure that that never happens? Happened to me in university with my citations in chemistry. Drove me crazy, but I learned to appreciate for sure the importance of citations properly. And for me, that's something that's like, well, that needs to be done properly, you know, but if we got ways of being able to help students do that more efficiently with these tools that can do those kinds of things, then why not? We have to also make sure that they understand what it looks like so that when the AI messes up, we can be there to catch it and make sure that we're not publishing and putting something out there that is not correct. AI is a thought partner. It is an idea, you know, a second brain for, you know, coming up with ideas, things like that. Fantastic podcast. Thanks, George and AJ, for your thoughts. And I am going to post this and share this with some people in my district and around. Thanks. Okay, bye. Thing for Monday, February 19, 2024. I just listened to Tech Tools for Teachers with Shanna Martin, episode 175, as Shanna and Fuzz bring us some farming apps and a website and an app to teach you about farming and farm life and things that you can do to bring awareness to the fact that farming is an integral part of our lives. We just had a presentation here at the Abbotsford Virtual School from the BC Greenhouse Association, and he back in December, and he talked about the importance of greenhouses in food production in our area of the woods, and how those things that we take for granted, like our fruits and vegetables and stuff like that, is so important. And, you know, bringing awareness to our students that we shouldn't just take it for granted. So anyhow, Shanna and Fuzz talk on this podcast about Moving Cows app that was developed by the animal welfare, department in the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and by a couple of professors there and the research groups. And it's about moving cows around to effectively manage them on a farm, dairy cows, so that you can get good milk production out of them. So that's something cool, good, apparently on iOS and Android devices, touch screens, and you know, you can, it's kind of like a simulator sort of for dairy cows and moving them around, and you get rewards for being successful, things like that. And there's a certificate at the end, and so there's that. All right, the other one was called Spatial Grow, and it's the farm building stream in there, and you can, it's kind of like a simulation, and you can build a farm and looks at the impacts of different things on the farm and why would you do those things, you know. So for those of us that live out in Farmville in real life, see these things, but maybe if you're in the city, you don't see these things, and this could be a way of bringing awareness. Thanks, Shanna. Thanks, Fuzz. And hey, Shanna, looking forward to hearing you from the MyPETA conference coming in the fall. Okay, bye.
Hey, PLN, it's Wednesday, February 21, 2024. Coming to you from the garage. Woke up, it was pouring rain outside, so I stayed in, but I listened to a podcast, the Shooks and Gif podcast, season 7, episode 3, with guest Tom Mullaney. And Jen Giffen talks with Tom Mullaney about AI and education and a thing called the Eliza Effect. So before I listened to this episode, I had some awareness of the Eliza effect as how we have a tendency to anthropomorphize computers and giving them human traits of, you know, creativity and feeling and sincerity and things like that, whereas they are just computers and they are good at what they do, but they are not good at what humans do, which is those traits that we tend to give our computers and devices. This is a good episode, Jen. Thanks for bringing Tom and to us to share Tom's perspective on artificial intelligence and projected bias through these means. And, you know, we take and look at this large language model where it's getting its data from, but it gets it typically from those that are able to provide content in a digital manner to our large language model learners, the AI systems, to put out the next best guess of what a word or a thing could be, which comes from a place of inherent bias. I am talking to my students about these kinds of things, just briefly looking at artificially intelligent images that are generated, you know, and they look very good, but are they true and are they creative? Okay, one more thing. I'm coming right back. Hang on. One more thing for February 21, 2024. I was listening to Shooks and Gif, episode 3 of season 7 with Tom Mullaney and AI and Education and the Eliza Effect. And Tom and Jen are talking about creativity and about where does the information come from that AI is giving us. And Tom compared the factualness of an AI result to that of the factual results that are gathered through a Google search. And, you know, I haven't heard this said as explicitly as this, but the next best guess of AI is not the same as fact-checking many resources ourselves to determine what is actually true. Last night, true story, I was helping my niece who's taking a chemistry class in Calgary, and she reached out and said, Uncle Brian, can you help me with some chemistry? And it was like first year university chemistry. It's been a long time since I've thought about things at that level. I do teach chemistry 12 to give myself some credibility, but at the university level and the complexity of things, I haven't thought. So in order to help myself, I, not for bias sake, but just because I needed some help, I went into Copilot in Microsoft, and I typed in the question that I was looking for the answer to, and it came back with an abbreviated version of what the answer probably should be because it was missing some of those details. And so I, being the knowledge, having the knowledge that I believe I have, and I, you know, I cannot know that I know have this knowledge any more than believing that what I was taught was true in university back before artificial intelligence and Google searches and stuff like that. I critically thought about what I got, and I went to Google and I did some more searching to find consistent results that were helpful. All right, I'm coming right back. I'll be right there. Hang on. All right, this is the last thing for February 21, 2024. Continuing my thoughts on Shooks and Gif, Season 7, Episode 3 with Tom Mullaney and Jen Giffen talking about the Eliza Effect and about this artificial intelligence providing search results that necessarily are not true and correct is something that we need to teach our students. Just because it's there and just because it can give us the next best guess does not mean that it is looking at all of the information or even part of the information correctly. It can't know that. I don't know how it can know that. Can it self-set fact check itself? So this gets around to what's the place of AI in education. I was at a meeting with our AI enthusiast group yesterday, and we said this thing isn't going away, that we need to be critical thinkers of this thing but we can't run from it. How can it help us? You know, and there are chatbots that certain artificial intelligence groups make, like School AI, where you can talk to a historical figure. And what's the bias that's coming out of that? Is it good or not? And, you know, Tom brought a point up, you know, of where is, what are the board of directors supporting? Who are the board of directors? Is there, you know, just the board of directors for these different organizations, these different companies, you know, all male and all white? And, you know, we got to think about that. All right, Tom, thank you for your thoughts. And one thing that jumped out at me was that every AI search that we do uses as much energy as it does takes to charge a cell phone. Yes, it's taking a bunch of energy to do that. My cell phone charges, takes a while for it to do that. But, you know, are we being wasteful by just playing around, or are we actually learning? And I think there's a place for learning, and I think it takes energy in order to learn of what we should and should not do. Okay, this is good. Thanks, Jen. And that's my aha, and I am giving it a go. Keep thinking and being critical. Okay, bye. Morning, PLN. It is February 22nd, 2024. This morning, again, it's raining, so I stayed in, but I'm listening to some podcasts this morning. Actually, I'm sitting and tying flies right now while I listen to podcasts. Upstairs. I'm in the garage recording because my family's sleeping, so that's why I'm down here. Anyhow, this morning I listened to episode 44 of season 3 of Seeing to Lead with Dr. Chris Jones, as he brings us a Seeing to Lead short. In this episode, he talks about actions speaking louder than words, and how can we go about figuring out what our actions are and our words that match up with those things. We may say that we value, you know, spending time with their family. But, you know, as we go through our day, you know, Chris challenges us to take a time journal of ourselves through our weeks to see where we are spending our time and how we are spending our time. You know, if we say we value our time with our family, how much time in a week are we actually putting into that? Now, quantity is different than quality, so keep that in mind. But taking that stock of where do you put your time? Because that actually speaks volumes to the values that we have and the things that we value, actually, you know. So for me, fishing's important. How much time do I spend fishing? And not actually the act of fishing, but preparing for fishing, tying flies, etc. like that. So that is something that's important, you know. So yes. All right, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Challenging. And something that I will consider looking at, you know, as we're going through these days at work. That's something that I got to do possibly for work so that I can see where I'm spending my time, so I can justify my things that I do, you know, because I say that there's some things that are important, but do I put that time and energy into it, or do I work way too long? Okay, talk to y'all. Have a good day. Bye. One more thing for February 22nd, 2024. I listened to episode 255 of the Easy Ed Tech podcast with Monica Burns, and she brings us an interview she has with Jessica Cato out of Hawaii, and talking about Generation Alpha and leaning into the strengths of Generation Alpha. So for my learning, I didn't know what that meant exactly. Generation Alpha is about students and people that are born between 2010 and 2025. So they're still being born right now, and they're the first generation born in this millennium. So that is a curious thing. Our younger learners, for us here where I am in BC, looks like about the end, early grade 9 and downwards are the Generation Alpha students that are in our spaces right now. And they have, according to what I've heard from Jessica here, they have a strong sense of empathy. The curiosity is important, and also the desire to be an influence and have a presence online and have some influence there. You know, so it's interesting to watch our students. And with these things in mind, we need to be growing in them critical thinking, because they have grown up with the internet since forever in their lives. And it's been there present the whole time. Whereas us that are older, you know, like myself, I tell them, well, it wasn't there when I was young at all. And I had no idea about these things. So, you know, just growing their curiosity, growing their critical thinking and media literacy skills are so very important, because it's all about media and how they get information comes through these things, their devices and their computers. All right. That was insightful. Thanks so much, Jessica Cato and Monica Burns on the Easy EdTech Podcast, episode 255. Fantastic to be learning. And so keep up with this. Do some digging to understand our students a little bit better, because we might need to change some of our Gen X ways of doing things. Okay, bye.
Another one more thing for February 22nd, 2024, home from school. It is a beautiful day. I'm out here wearing shorts in February, walking in my neighborhood and enjoying the afternoon. I was like, I could go home, I could turn on the computer and keep on going, but I'm like, nope. Let's get some fresh air while it's nice out. So I didn't do that this morning, but I did tie flies. So here I am this afternoon as I listen and reflect on what I've heard. I listened to episode 90 of Evolving with Gratitude. And Lainey Rowell brings us a solo episode as she shares with us an article she wrote on Thrive Global that you can find a link to in the show notes of her podcast. And it's about how to use heartfelt praise to strengthen relationships. And the title's not exactly that, but the point is, in episode 90, Lainey talks about the ratio of praise to criticism for building strong relationships. And it's not about, you know, placating someone, but it's about being genuine as you speak to them about praise. So, you know, false praise isn't gonna cut it, but sincere praise will. You know, even with people in our spaces that are difficult to work with, you know, giving them heartfelt praise will make a difference in your relationships. So, you know, the best way to change someone's behavior is to change ours first. And so going from a deficit behavior of ourselves to a praise behavior will affect relationships and people around us. All right, that ratio. Drum roll, please. Oh, you know, I'm not going to tell you. Got to go listen to Lainey's episode. So thanks, Lainey, so much. You know, Lainey, I do appreciate what you do here on your podcast, is you bring us amazing guests and you share that with us here on our podcatcher, in your podcast that I listen to on a regular basis. And gratitude does make a difference in people's lives. So I appreciate you bringing that to the forefront. Continue to talk about it, because you know what? We're stubborn people and we forget sometimes. And so it's a great reminder each week to hear about gratitude and making a difference in our world. All right, that's all I got. Thanks. Bye. All right, the last thing for February 22nd, 2024. I just listened to Teach Happier. And when I listen to Teach Happier, I become happier, because I have been encouraged for certain behaviors in my day that I start thinking about as I go through my day. And this episode came out on Sunday, and I'm only listening to it on Thursday. I encourage you to listen to Suzanne Daly's Teach Happier podcast. It's short and sweet and challenging at times, but encouraging at other times. Today's episode that I listened to on season 4, episode 22, is called Toss the Junk Mail. And this goes hand in hand with that last segment I just shared with you from Evolving with Gratitude with Lainey Rowell, episode 90, where we are looking at, you know, in this one, the negative messages that come our way and how to deal with those. And like Lainey talked about, the praise is something that gets our attention. So Suzanne brought up that neurological phenomena that we have been programmed to watch out for negatives, because it helps keep us safe in our world and in our space. But that was for a time when the threats were actually life-threatening and we had to pay attention to those things. Like, you know, when the pterodactyl would swoop out of the sky and eat the caveman. Did that actually happen? I don't know. But anyhow, besides that, you know, it's about paying attention to negatives. And she's talking about taking a look at where is the message coming from? Is it coming from, like, by looking at the return address, maybe of an email or on a note or from a colleague at work or something like that? You know, is the person of importance to us or are they not of importance to us? You know, so who's it from? We can disregard it. Or possibly, you know, as we're sorting through our mail, we can maybe toss those things that are of not, you know, someone that we are concerned about. So kind of the same thing. So thank you, Suzanne. I appreciate your thoughts about the junk mail. People, take a listen to Happy Chappier. Go subscribe. All right. Have a great day. Okay, bye. All right. The very last thing, I just was scrolling through my podcatcher and I came across the Innovator's Mindset with George Koros. And George, I just want to shout you out right now. It was called, I can't remember what it was called. It was called Sharing About Your Dog Odom. And I'm like, oh no, this is a hard and heavy one. And sure enough, as you started, George, it's a hard and heavy one because you had to say goodbye to your dog Odom. And I don't own a dog, but I have two cats and I got one little boy. His name's Mando. And George, you share your story about your dog Odom from the very get-go to even right now. And even after, a couple days after, I'm listening to this, that you dropped this podcast, and it's been 4 days since Odom left us. You know, I've got a couple friends in my life right now that have, you know, just had to say goodbye to their dogs. And just walking the journey with them, it's pretty hard because, you know, dogs and animals, they have an impact on us. And they are there for us at moments in time. And every morning I get up in the morning and my cat Mando bounds off the bed and comes and sees me. And I go say hi to my wife and Mando will walk all the way over top of her to get to me. And I come in the door and he's there. And he's there all the time. And it's just, it's amazing. So, George, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing from your heart this really heavy event. And I know that having a podcast is a way that you can record some history and you can share and have a place where you can process. And I just want to give you kudos, man, for your bravery here as you shared about Odom. I remember the story you talked about in a little while ago when you were moving to Florida and how you drove and you said one of the, you know, things you dread the most are some of the best things. And now it connects, bang, just like that. All right, George, take care of yourself. Thinking about you. Thanks for sharing, George. Okay, bye. Hey, PLN, it's February 23, 2024. Welcome to Friday. It's Friday. Looking up, it is a clear sky. The full moon is behind me there, and it's beautiful. It might not be really a full moon, but it's pretty close and pretty bright. So it's nice. 3 degrees Celsius and out for fresh air at 5 this morning. I wanted to say a shout out to my friend, Joanne Friesen. She's on Twitter now, on X, and her handle is Joanne Fries, F-R-I-E-S-E-D-U. And so double N and Joanne with an E. And I'll tag her in this post. All right. This morning, I'm reflecting on a podcast I listened to last night. It was later in the evening. I sat down, tied some flies, and turned on Truth for Teachers with Angela Watson. And she has a podcast. Her episode 295 had her talking with Dr. Twenge. And she is a psychologist and looks at some data in the United States and around the world about cell phones and the student mental health crisis. And the question was, can banning cell phones in schools solve this youth mental health crisis? That's a big question. That's a huge question. And we As I listened, I was listening with a with an open mind and a critical lens as I heard the arguments in the podcast about the onset of technology in our world and when we started to see the youth mental health crisis going on. There was an episode on Teachers on Fire with Chris Nessie and Dr. Matt Rhodes as they debated back in September about the pros and cons of cell phones in schools and classrooms. And we've just recently here in British Columbia been faced with legislation from the government that says in September 2024, cell phones will be banned in schools. And, you know, I don't know what all the arguments and things are from that perspective, but I am hearing and seeing, you know, the challenges of cell phones in classrooms. Would it be nice if they weren't in my classroom? At points, it would be. We do have iPads in my classroom for content collection and things like that, but a cell phone is way more convenient. So I don't know which side I'm exactly on with this, but I'm thinking and being mindful of the different sides of the story. And you should take a listen to this and see how it impacts you. I've got two daughters that are still in high school and a son that's just out. And I watch them on their devices and go, we got to have some boundaries. And it's really hard even as a parent to have those boundaries. But maybe it's because we were too lax. I don't know, but here we are today. All right, this has gone on for about 3.5 minutes, so I'm going to have to chop this into two pieces. But this is my thoughts right now. Okay, talk to you soon. The last thing for Friday, February 23, 2024. Today, I'm going to be at a Ministry of Education meeting on a follow-up to my trip to Victoria last week, and I'm looking forward to seeing my colleagues that I met for the first time there and talking about artificial intelligence and our experience with teaching it in our classrooms and getting ready to share our learning stories that we are creating out of our experience of teaching this. Our students are such an integral part of our life as teachers that we, you know, think about a lot of things outside of school that we can bring to them and how we can do that. An example of this is on Science 360 episode 91 as Tim Stevenson sits down with his wife Cheryl and they flip the mic and she hosts the podcast and asks him a bunch of questions about how he teaches science and what he does. Cheryl, it's great to hear your voice and your inquisitiveness. Married to Tim, you'd have to be inquisitive and wondering and all the things that you as a couple and family have done, places you've gone, kayaking, etc. And you talk about questions that you have about the moon. And the episode is, you know, Tim teaches Cheryl some things about the moon. It's not exactly it. But the whole point is that the moons are all around us. It's around us. We experience the effects of it every day. And I learned a lot of things, actually. And I knew some things, but just putting them in order so that we could take them in and hear them again. So thank you, Tim. Some things I didn't know. And one thing I saw last night, I was sitting there, and in my email, there was an email that came in, and it talks about the spacecraft Odysseus landing on the moon yesterday or very recently, and we have our now self another spacecraft from Earth that has landed on the moon. More to come in the future, obviously. All right, take care. Have a great Friday. Bye-bye.
I appreciate you giving me a listen as I've created this podcast experience for you. It's like a unique Blinkist or Coles Notes version of the content I take in, like a highlight reel, so that you can hopefully find some other interesting podcasts you may not have considered before. I've recorded the specific episode podcast titles and episode numbers in the show notes, which are only a click or swipe away for your learning convenience. I've also started to put together a Spotify playlist of each of the episodes so that you can also take a listen to those specifically, and the link to that playlist is in the show notes. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of my upcoming episodes. And if you enjoy this podcast and its format, share it with someone else. You can also follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Brian Carr, BRYONCAR, or at Fresh Air at 5. Tweet about your experience or give it a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Fresh Air at 5 can be found on the Educational Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. I hope you have a fantastic day. Get some fresh air before the day is out and take care of yourself because you are worth it.